Wondering what's the buzz? Then tune into Happy Hours for your dose of All That Matters, the exclusive HR podcast by NHRDN in partnership with Timber Media, podcaster for India Inc.
Hi, welcome everybody to this episode of Happy Hours. I'm Anu. I'm part of the executive team of the NHRD Chennai chapter, and I also lead talent acquisition for AstraZeneca. It's such a privilege to have with me our guest for today, which is none other than Ganesh Chella. He's the managing director and co-founder of CFI and founder of the Totus Consulting. In a career spanning over 35 years, Ganesh has come to be respected and acknowledged for his contribution as a practitioner, consultant, coach, and a thought leader in the field of organizational development, human resource management, leadership, and executive coaching. After a successful corporate career in human resources for 16 years, in the year 2000, Ganesh turned an entrepreneur in the professional services field, which was very close to his heart. At Totus, his work as a strategic human resource consulting firm, he's been able to address the organizational development and the HR need of over 150 clients across 300 client engagements. In today's focus is to do with, you know, the part where he's authored. And to his credit, we have three books that he's either authored or co-authored. The first one being Creating a Helping Organization, Five Engaging Ways to Promote Employee Performance, Growth and Well-being. Are you ready for the corner office that you had co-authored? And the book that we're talking today, HR Here and Now, The Making of the Quintessential People Champion. He's a co-author of this book. He has, to his credit, published a variety of articles and blogs. Ganesh is an alumni of XLRI Jamshedpur. He's a professional member of the India Society for Applied Behavioral Science and trained and certified as a coach by Dr. Kiffington Australia and Coaching Foundation in India. Ganesh, we're so glad to welcome you. Hello from the HR fraternity.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Ganesh, for taking time. I know you've had a pretty busy schedule. The way we've structured our talk today is to focus on the book in itself. That's the part or the first part of our conversation, Ganesh. We'll focus on, I don't think we've had many established and honored people who have also been in the field and written books. So it's such a pleasure to have you. We'll start with the first question. So why this book, Ganesh, if you can give us some insights?
Thanks, Anuradha. I'll get straight down to answering that question, why this book? There are really three reasons why Harish Devarajan, Vijay Rao and I decided to write this book. One is that the HR as a function evoked most emotions among its stakeholders. And we as young professionals have always felt strongly about it and have always felt a need to ensure that the world outside and the world around us sees a more balanced and not one-sided view of the function. And that early desire and drive took shape when we said the best way to present that balanced view is in the form of a book. That's the first reason. Second, when the three of us decided to address HR capability needs through HR, Totus HR School, an institution that we tried to create, we had the opportunity to work with hundreds of HR professionals to address their competence building needs. And that brought us very close to the needs, opportunities, and challenges that HR professionals were facing. And that's another reason why we felt there was a lot that we could do to add value. Finally, we always felt that Indian organizations, ever since the time of liberalization, have been doing some fantastic work to help organizations and industries flourish, scale, and achieve global prominence. Unfortunately, the India story has seldom been told. Most of what we hear is what happens in Europe or in North America. And therefore, we felt it was time for the Indian story, the Indian perspective to be shared. So these are really three reasons why we felt there was an urgent need for a book from us.
The exclusive HR podcast by NHRDN in partnership with Timber Media, podcaster for India Inc.
So what kind of an audience did you have in mind, and who typically was the book meant for?
So if you see the subtitle of the book, it says The Making of the Quintessential People Champion. In our view, the quintessential people champion is anybody who has a responsibility for people. It could be an HR leader, it could be an HR professional, it could be a business leader, it could be a business owner. Anybody who has the responsibility for care of people is a people champion. And any such people champion will find value for this book. That's the way we saw it.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. If you could also tell us what you really felt was unique about this book, if you compare to many other books that are already there, what would your thoughts be, Ganesh?
So when the three of us decided to write the book, we had two choices in front of us. We could have narrated a running commentary about HR, what is happening, what are the theories, what are the models, what are the frameworks, which organization is doing what practices are present. Or we could be expert commentators who are sitting on the sidelines and culling out wisdom and sharing perspectives rather than knowledge. We decided to do the latter. So this book is not about the science of HR. There are many books for that. This book is more about wisdom and perspective from practitioners who've been there and done that. No? That's one unique thing about the book. Second is, throughout the book, we've tried to present a very balanced view. It's not one-sided. It's not about all that is wrong, all that is great, but a balanced view. The third one is that the book is very much placed in the India context. It is not global. It's very India-centric. The next one is it current and contemporary? What is happening today? And finally, I think this is the heart of the book. We culled out over 20 great examples of places and organizations where HR is at its very best, you know. So these to me are some four or five reasons which make this book pretty unique.
Great, thank you. Hold on, folks. We do have a section where we talk about examples from the book. The last question about the book is, are there any key highlights that you can share with us on the book?
I think the book has four key highlights, if I may. One is it's about the profession and the professional. That's the first part of the book. So there we are saying, how is the function perceived? How do people look at the function? What is the current taxonomy or system of classifying various aspects of the function in a contemporary way? That's the first part of the profession and the professional in a modern point of view. The second is, what are the demands placed on the function today? You know, we think there are five demands being placed on the function today. And these five demands finally break down into 18 critical facets or issues that are critical for HR in India today. So we've been able to deal in great detail touching upon these five broad themes and 18 critical dimensions, right? And each of these takes the form of one chapter. And finally, we talk about what it takes to become a quintessential people champion. How do you become a people champion? What competencies are required? What values are required? So those are really the highlights of the book.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ganesh. Please do make sure that, you know, get your copy today so that we're able to get those different perspectives and wisdom.
Bottoms up.
Bottoms up.
Moving on to the second part of a section that is popularly called as Bottoms Up. This typically is, you know, a side that we'd like to get your perspectives and, of course, a little bit of really getting the community together. One of the first questions is, in your experience, why do you think HR evokes such a strong emotion?
So this is critical. This is at the very heart of HR. HR touches the lives of people, and HR deals with a lot of subjective realities of what is right and what is wrong, what is okay and what is not okay. And depending on whom you ask, people will have a certain view of how they see the function. So if you lean on the side of business, employees are unhappy. You lean on the side of employees, businesses are happy. You're damned if you did, you're damned if you didn't. Therefore, there is always a certain conflict in how HR acts, how HR takes decisions, how HR solves problems and so on. And therefore, as a result of this, depending on whom you ask, you're likely to get a certain range of it. But it's always pretty emotional. Huh? And the current environment is perhaps the best testimony of the emotions that HR is likely to evoke in people.
Absolutely. So well said, Ganesh, and I can resonate every word of what you're saying. We always struggle with this about thinking, is HR about doing, feeling, or thinking? What would your perspective be on this, Ganesh?
In fact, there's a chapter in the book called The Doing, Thinking, and Feeling part of HR. Traditionally, HR was seen as a lot of doing, you know, hire people, administration, payroll, benefits, welfare, engagement, activity, and so on. And HR was quite comfortable with that doing. Over a period of time, a lot of that doing got automated, got outsourced, got mechanized, or somebody else started doing it. And a lot of young people, you ask them and they would say, no, I want to become strategic. I want a chair at the table. I want to think. I want to partner with business and so on. So a lot of thinking became very glamorous. But the point is, many businesses and business owners, especially in the Indian context, felt it was their job to think. The business owner said what culture I want. The business owner framed policies. The business owner decided how he should do things and said, I will do the thinking, you do the doing. But in all of this, what has got compromised is the feeling part. There was always an expectation that HR will be in touch with emotions, will be empathetic, will display care and concern, will create motivation in others, will be responsive to people's problems and so on, the emotional dimension. But the truth is, HR cannot do any one in isolation of the other. There must be a good balance between doing, thinking, and feeling. Feeling without doing is of no use. Thinking without doing is meaningless. And thinking and doing without feeling would make it a very cold organization. So how to find the right balance at various levels in different contexts is an extremely challenging and exciting journey for HR professionals.
The exclusive HR podcast by NHRDN in partnership with Timber Media, podcaster for India Inc.
You also spoke about how one can gain wisdom and perspective from the book. So personally, in your experience, can you narrate one example that struck you while you were doing research on this book?
So one perspective, if I will, that struck us constantly is that while HR was constantly striving to say, I want to become more strategic, I want to partner, I want to add value to business, I must be seen like a business function and so on, employees and businesses were constantly telling HR that, hey, listen, you guys need to show more humanness. It is the humanness that sets you apart. What sets you apart as a profession is that humanness. What sets you apart as a professional is your ability to do what really matters to the employee. Understand his motives, drives, and do what really matters. That is important. So the whole expectation of humanness actually struck us very strongly. HR professionals quite often underestimate or underplay that humanness. It doesn't seem to be some great stuff to show or wear on one's sleeve, you know. So that is the perspective that touched us quite deeply.
Can you give us one example of a progressive solution that HR practitioners had come up with?
So there are several, as I said, over 20 great examples of what people have done in the area of performance, rewards, in the area of learning, in the area of employee relations, and so on and so forth. But the one thing which really struck us is the story of Trivago. It's a logistics company. They felt that, their core employees are truck drivers. And they said the truck driver is often considered the 39th caste in a village, which means he's an outcast because he doesn't come home. He's all over the place. There are always allegations about his lifestyle, his morality, and so on. So they said, if you want to be a logistics company, we need to really enrich their values. So the entire business model was built around ensuring that the driver comes home every day or every alternate day. Just imagine that I build a business model based on building dignity for my employee and saying, how can I get him to work in relationships so that he drives 200 kilometers, gets back 200 kilometers, gets home and spends time with the family. They also launched insurance and other benefits. This struck us quite deeply as such a huge progressive practice. I just want to share one other example. This is with the Sundaram Finance Group. When we spoke to them, they said, look, we don't believe in individual rewards. We don't believe in private donors. It's always the team. We do not differentiate at all among people. We want everyone to win in a branch. For a finance company at this age to make that kind of a statement based on their values was really astounding. And the results speak for themselves. Within a few months of every year, they meet and exceed the targets of fixed deposit collection, and they have to turn back depositors. So these are a couple of great examples which really touched our heart.
Moving on to the next one, talking about HR as a profession and HR professional, in your ranking, what would you rate as two things one must consider that one needs to have to become a professional?
So when we look at the continuum of organizations where businesses make HR central and give it the place of respect that it deserves, quite often we find that this is not a place which is given by default. It is a place that the HR professionals earn for themselves. And they earn that place of centrality, respect, and all of that only through the credibility of their actions. They are able to deliver on their promise. They know their facts. They can be trusted, they are competent. So the credibility is extremely high. That to me is the number one competence or requirement. The second one is there must be empathy. Every profession has a core DNA. And the core DNA for HR is empathy. And empathy to me is the second quality that I would put on the table for HR professionals.
Great. As you say this, Ganesh, I'm doing a check in my mind to see if I possess these two competencies, but I think I will answer that in person to you. Thank you so much, Ganesh. I think we come to the end of this segment. It was such a pleasure. I think your perspectives and your wisdom, I can really feel how much of an experience that you've kind of been able to translate that as a book for all of us. So thank you for doing that. And I hope, we are able to gather a lot more wisdom and perspectives from your book. But thank you for taking the time amidst your busy schedule. It was such a pleasure having this conversation. Any last words that you may want to wrap, Ganesh?
No, thank you for the opportunity to really share all of this with you. In fact, the three of us have got together again to come up with a special edition to look at HR here and now in the context that is right in front of us and what HR will mean in the days, months and years to come. So I do hope we have something even more current and contemporary to share with you pretty soon.
Lovely. We look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wondering what's the buzz? Then tune into Happy Hours for your dose of All That Matters, the exclusive HR podcast by NHRDN in partnership with Timber Media, podcaster for India Inc.